Answers to your questions about Medicare open enrollment. In Maine, more than 300,000 people depend on Medicare for their health care coverage. That's 23% of the population. The open enrollment period for Medicare is now underway and lasts until December 7th. Plans change every year. Even though experts advise people to take some time each year to review plans, many people do not. Studies show that most Medicare recipients stay with the same plan year after year because they are afraid of changing. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will answer your questions about Medicare enrollment. We'll learn the pros and cons of switching to a Medicare Advantage plan, about Medigap coverage, resources to get one-on-one help, and more. Signing up for Medicare or switching your plan. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Open enrollment for Medicare is underway. It ends on December 7th. Today, I have two guests with me to answer your questions about changes to Medicare and signing up for the program. With me in the studio, Jim Baker. He's a volunteer with Southern Maine Area Agency on Aging and a Medicare open enrollment expert. And joining us from Washington, D.C., Jane Sung. She is a senior strategic policy advisor with AARP's Public Policy Institute. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you have questions about signing up for Medicare or changing your existing Medicare insurance plan? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. We do expect a number of calls today and plan to go to them early in the program, earlier than usual. So that number, 1-800-399-3566. Jane Sung, I'll start with you. What significant changes are there this year that people seem to be really tuned into or need to be tuned in that maybe they aren't?
Well, thanks for having me. I think this year, you know, one of the things we've heard about Medicare open enrollment is that it's going to be pretty much a lot like the recent years. But for this year, for Medicare Advantage in particular, we're going to see even more plans than ever. We're told that the most plans ever are participating this year. For some people, that's a great news to hear that there are more choices. For others, I think that this is a daunting time of year to be facing all these different choices and the differences between plans. So I think it probably just emphasizes how important it is, more so than ever, for people to get an early start, dig into the details and see how these differences in plans might affect their bottom line.
Jim, Jane mentioned Medicare Advantage. What is the difference between traditional Medicare and Medicare Advantage?
That's a tough question. Medicare Advantage plans, well, traditional Medicare, which is Part A and Part B, original Medicare, what they call it, is subcontracted to insurance companies. So the monies that the government is collecting from taxes for Part A and premiums for Part B, they've given to the insurance companies, and they've asked them to put a package together, an insurance package together that provides all the same or similar benefits that are in the Medicare program. And as a result, you have various structures of Medicare Advantage plans, which make things a little more difficult to navigate.
All right. And Jane, I read that nationally, more and more people are choosing Medicare Advantage plans. In Maine, the numbers seem to be about 27% of people choose a Medicare Advantage plan. Why would someone want to choose Medicare Advantage over traditional Medicare Part A and Part B? Who would be a good candidate for it?
You are correct that the proportion of people choosing Medicare Advantage is growing, on average every year. We're up to about roughly a third if you look across all of the states. Maine is, slightly lower than the national average at about 27%. But I think I think it's important to note that still, even though Medicare Advantage is growing, it's still the vast majority of Medicare beneficiaries are still choosing traditional fee-for-service, original Medicare, and it's the, you know, a smaller proportion that is choosing the private Medicare Advantage option. For some people, it comes down to cost. If they're finding that Medicare Advantage premiums in some cases, if you look even looking at the deductibles and some of the other costs, they're finding it might be a more affordable option for them when they compare the two programs to each other, especially when you compare the cost also of a Medigap policy that a lot of people in traditional Medicare choose to get to pay for some of that cost sharing. A Medicare Advantage plan has the sort of built-in feature that they all have a maximum out-of-pocket limit, sort of caps the amount that you're going to be responsible for in that year, whereas traditional Medicare doesn't have that built-in feature, and that's why people turn to either retiree coverage from a former job or a private Medigap policy on their own. So those are some of the reasons that somebody might choose a Medicare Advantage plan over traditional Medicare.
Jim, what's a Medigap policy?
Medigap is an insurance policy that has the ability to, well, it does take care of most of the copays and deductibles that are in original Medicare. So if somebody wants to insure all of the deductibles and copays, there is a plan out there. It's the most expensive plan. It's the F plan, if you will. They can have all their copays taken care of. I call this plan the high initial cost because it's relatively expensive, but low risk because once you've paid your premium, everything is covered. Whereas on the Advantage plan side, it oftentimes is a low initial cost because sometimes you can buy a policy with zero premium, but you have a higher risk. So it's a matter of what your tolerance is for risk.
So many things in life. You have to think hard about what your tolerance is for risk. Jane, I read that studies show most people don't switch, even when it's a good idea for them to switch. Give us the sell. Why ought people at this busy time of year here in Maine, coming out of a big power outage, going into Thanksgiving, why should they still sit down and spend some time with their plans?
Well, you are correct. That is the finding from a lot of studies that people, you know, they make the it's hard enough to enroll for Medicare the first time around. It's trying to figure out the different parts of Medicare, whether you want to be in traditional Medicare or Medicare Advantage. And then having to go through this every year, I think, can be pretty daunting for people. I think it comes down to inertia. People, especially if they're happy with what their coverage is, you know, why bother with something that works? I think that's the attitude that some people tend to have. Unfortunately, because things changed so much, that really doesn't work to their advantage. It makes the most sense to look at your options every year. If you're in traditional Medicare and you're happy with traditional Medicare, that is one of the big advantages of traditional Medicare, is that you don't need to really reexamine your health coverage year to year because you don't have the same issues that you do with Medicare Advantage. In terms of lots of differences and features and changes and differences between plans. For traditional Medicare, if you're happy with that, you can stick with that. But you really should take a look at your drug coverage, which is separate and offered through private insurance companies, just like Medicare Advantage. You know, if you're not in the right plan and the rules have changed or your health needs have changed or there's a better option that might work better for you, you're sort of leaving money on the table in terms of what you're paying. And it really makes a lot of sense to take the opportunity at this time of year and make sure you're in the best plan.
Jim, you're with a Southern Maine Area Agency on Aging. What does your Area Agency on Aging and others throughout the state offer people when they're trying to figure out what's the best choice for them?
We have frequent Welcome to Medicare seminars for people turning 65 and even people afterwards where we give them a lot of information. And then we offer one-on-one counseling. And usually those appointments are an hour, and hopefully they come with a gut feeling as to what side of the ledger they want to be on, whether it's an Advantage plan or a supplement. but we'll help them get information to allow them to make a good decision about what they want.
Because it does seem pretty confusing.
Well, it is, and you know, and that's why one of the reasons why they don't people don't change, especially on the Advantage plan, because there's just so many moving parts. If they're comfortable with the networks, the doctors, the facilities, they tend not to want to do that. But on the drug plan, a lot of people change, and they change because of money. There's an opportunity to save a lot of money. Over in 2016, well, over the last 3 years, we've saved people around $800,000 just in the drug, well, in making changes to either the drug plans or signing them up for Medicare savings plans or switching Medigap providers. So there's a lot of money to be saved. And it's a lot easier to change a drug plan than it is to change an Advantage plan.
Jane, is there any sort of general advice along the lines of, you know, if you have chronic health problems, you're probably better off with this kind of plan. If you are really healthy and don't take a lot of drugs, you're probably better off with this kind of plan? Or is it even too hard to say, given those kind of situations?
You know, I think that some of those factors that you mentioned are certainly ones that you should be weighing in your decision. But it's such a personalized decision overall. Your needs might be, stronger in one area versus another. You might prioritize cost versus convenience. In general, we tend to ask people to look at the four C's: cost, coverage, convenience, and customer service. And, you know, and beyond that, it's sort of an individualized decision on how much you prioritize one of those C's over another. I think, you know, some of the issues that you mentioned are certainly ones that are going to play into particularly that cost measure. But for others, you know, especially if they live in, you know, an area where they don't have a lot of providers, that, you know, that convenience or that coverage aspect is going to be pretty important to them. If their neighborhood pharmacy is not a preferred pharmacy for that drug plan, that's going to make all the difference in the world for them. So it really is, it can be a pretty complicated decision, and it is pretty individualized to each consumer.
All right, we'll go to Diane, who's calling from Hollowell. Hi, Diane, go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, I'm 60 years old, disabled due to a work injury. So I have Medicare for my primary, Maine Care for my secondary, sort of wrapped up under Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, MediBlue Dual Advantage, HMO, SNP. I understand they are not participating in the Affordable Care Act. Does this affect my coverage, or can I continue this coverage into the next year? And I can hang up.
Oh, Diane, that's fine. Jim, go ahead.
You don't have to. The decision for Anthem to leave the marketplace for Affordable Care Act won't affect your SNP plan with Anthem. That should just continue. If you're happy with it, you don't have to do anything, and it just will automatically continue.
All right. And Jane, there's a lot of confusion, isn't there? Because we hear so much in the news about the Affordable Care Act. But when you hear news about that, it really has nothing to do with Medicare, does it?
It really is a separate issue. And I think there is a lot of confusion. A lot of the talk in Washington has confused people who have individual market coverage, but also other types of coverage. It's a pretty important message to send home that in the Medicare open enrollment, the issues and the debates around what's happening in Washington today, you know, should not really affect their individual decision making for this open enrollment season and for Medicare.
Diane, thanks for your call. If you'd like to call, the number 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. An email from Carol: I've been on Medicare for several years and have a supplemental plan. I'm thinking of switching to an Advantage plan, but wonder if after a year I don't like it, will I be able to switch back to the supplemental plan I currently have without a big cost increase?
That's an interesting question. Does Carol live in the state of Maine, or does she live outside
the state of
Maine.
I have to assume so, because it doesn't say. Most of our listeners are here in Maine.
Okay. Well, it's different. The answer to the question would be different if it was out of the state of Maine. But in the state of Maine, if you have a supplement and you want to switch to an Advantage plan, you can do that, and you have up to 36 months to switch back, and you'll be guaranteed that you can buy the same plan. If you've had this supplemental plan from the beginning, then you'll have a guaranteed right to get it back again. It won't be, if you were outside of the state of Maine, for those listening outside the state of Maine, you only have a year or 12 months, and you have that same right.
All right. We'll go to an email from Don. My wife and I are quite healthy, and we use few. Hold on, I'll start over again. I'm sure your guests will discuss the pluses and minuses of Advantage plans. For my wife and I, who are quite healthy and use few drugs, they work perfectly. We also get routine dental and eye care that is not covered under Medicare. The companies all use what is called, quote, evidence of coverage documents that have identical tables for allowable coverages that make it very easy to compare companies. The Affordable Care Act should be so easy. Question. We plan on keeping our current provider. In that case, we will automatically be enrolled, correct? Jane, correct?
I assume by provider he means his Medicare Advantage insurance provider. And it is the case that so long as that carrier, that insurance company, is continuing to offer the same coverage, he will be re-enrolled into that plan. So in that case, he is correct that if he did nothing, that he would be able to stay in that plan, so long as that insurance company is still offering that plan for next year. Does that mean that he really shouldn't continue to look at his options? I think, you know, we generally advise people that you should still take a look and see if there's a better plan out there for you. Just because you were in the best option last year doesn't mean that it's always going to be the best option out there for next year. But it sounds like if he's generally happy with his current plan, you know, it doesn't sound like there's a big problem going into next year and trying to stick with the same plan. And then it, also knowing that in future open enrollment seasons that he can make a change during that time if he'd like to.
All right. An email from Marianne. Is it true that once you've been on an Advantage plan for more than 3 years, you can't go back to a regular Medicare supplement policy, Jim?
Another interesting question. That's not true that you can't go back. Once you've been on an Advantage plan for 3 years or more, you can go back to a supplement, but you're not necessarily going to be guaranteed that you can have a supplement that you had once before. You are guaranteed that as long as you've had continuing coverage, that you can get a Plan A. Now, Plan A, I mentioned earlier Plan F. Plan A covers the basic benefits, 20% copay from Part B and some of the copays for Part A. So it provides a lot of benefits, but not total. You'll still be subject to the Part A deductible and Part B deductible, which are the big issues.
All right. Well, we do have to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your questions about Medicare open enrollment. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Patriot Subaru, providing sales, service, and accessories on new and pre-owned all-wheel drive Subarus on Route 1 in Saco. And Freemasons in Maine, with the Veterans Day observance at the Southern Maine Veterans Cemetery, November 11th, hosted by the Masonic Lodges of York County.
Not even lawyers are immune from automation. As algorithms get more sophisticated, it's changing the job of the corporate lawyer.
There are some entire areas of law where the whole practice area could be automated. Anytime there's legal work that is easily repeatable.
Things like writing wills and residential real estate closings. That story and the latest on the president in Asia this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening. Super Thursday is coming right up. It's a time of reflection about the value of this service in your listening day. Are you listening more? If you value this service and recognize that it stands apart, it's because folks just like you know that their annual support helps to pay the bills to keep Maine Public Radio on the air in the year ahead. So please do your part this Thursday. Call in or pledge online at mainepublic.org, which you can do right now if you'd rather do it early. One day goes by quickly. Your public radio station will be here for you and your community all year long. So please consider becoming a member, upgrading your pledge, or becoming a monthly sustaining Evergreen contributor. Thanks.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Medicare Sign Up. With me in the studio, Jim Baker, who is a volunteer with Southern Maine Area on Aging and a Medicare open enrollment expert. On the line with us, Jane Sung. She's a senior strategic policy advisor with AARP's Public Policy Institute. We invite you to join the conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Jim, I understand there have been a lot of changes in drug plans this year.
Yes. there were 16 premiums. There's 24 plans this year. There's one more than last year. 16 of them went up on their premiums, and six of them went up double digits, so $10 or more. There were six plans that actually had decreases in premiums, so opportunity to save some money. The biggest decrease was 28%. The biggest increase was 57%. So we have premiums ranging from $12.60 per month to $148.80 a month. So there are plenty of opportunities to save money by looking at your drug list this year.
Martin on Facebook writes, Jane, a key concern is whether or not Medicare Advantage Plan covers the Medicare rehab benefit. Do you agree?
Well, generally speaking, Medicare Advantage plans do have to cover the same benefits as traditional Medicare. I think the difference is that the cost sharing and the responsibilities upon the consumers can be different, certainly between plan to plan, but then also from if you're looking at traditional Medicare as well.
All right. Thank you, Martin, for that question. We'll go to Cheryl calling from Conway, New Hampshire. Hi, Cheryl. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. I had a question about signing up. I'm 64. I'll be 65 next June. So I figure from what I've read that I start signing up around March. So when I sign up, do I need to, if I'm still employed and I've got medical insurance from my employer, do I need to use Medicare? Do I use it along with the insurance I have with my employer? How does that all work?
Oh, good question, Cheryl.
Well, it depends.
How many questions are the answer? It depends.
It depends. It depends on whether or not you're collecting Social Security now or not. If you were collecting Social Security, you're going to automatically receive a Medicare card in the mail come March of next year, signing you up for Part A and Part B. If you're not collecting Social Security, you won't receive any notice, and any decisions about signing up will have to be on your own initiative. If you're employed and you are continuing to work and have health care coverage that you'd like to continue, you do not have to take the Part A or Part B. Most often people do take Part A because it doesn't cost anything, and it will provide you some additional cushion, possibly, depending on your own health care plan. But a lot of people don't take Part B, and it's really dependent on your health status, how much you use your health plan, will the Part B be beneficial or not. And you can defer taking the Part B until you leave that employer plan. Whether or not the determination as to which one is primary and which one is secondary depends on how big an employer group. So if you're in a group of a company that has less than 20 employees, then Medicare would become primary. If it's a large employer, your employer would be primary. And in the former case, where you're in a small group, you need to be very careful because Medicare is primary, and the CMS urges people to look carefully at the plan, talk to your HR people, because if you don't have Part B, you might not have any coverage for primary, and you may be in a very difficult situation. So it depends.
So it sounds like the best advice, no matter what kind of employer you have, is to talk with your human resources person in
Absolutely.
The office, because you know, it's going to be different for different plans and different sizes of companies.
And they know what kind of relationship they have with their insurance company and what kind of deals they've got, and you don't, and we wouldn't either.
All right, Cheryl, thanks for your call. Good question. We have Michael on Facebook saying, if I'm going to keep my Fed BCBS insurance benefit, do I need to enroll in the basic Medicare, or do I automatically get enrolled? I'll give that one to you, Jane.
So assuming that it sounds like he's a federal employee and has coverage under the Federal Employee Health Benefit Plan, and the FEHBP program has a slightly different coordination of benefits requirement with Medicare than other employer coverages in the way that Jim had just described. And it is true that I think that it has been presented to federal employees that it's up to them on whether or not they decide that they want to enroll in Part B under Medicare, or if they want to keep their FEHBP retiree coverage. In the past, I think it was pretty in previous years, it was more common to enroll in both for federal employees, but I think a growing number of feds seem to be declining Part B and just sticking with their federal employee health benefits in retirement. I'd be curious to know if Jim has experienced the same thing with any feds in Maine there as well.
Yeah, most of the people that I know personally and that have come in that have federal plans do not take Part B. And, of course, once you don't take it for a while, it becomes expensive to take it later on. But so it's sort of a permanent commitment in many cases. But most of the people stick with the federal plan. Unless there's a spouse, I'm not really that familiar with with all of the plans. There's a lot of different federal plans. And sometimes the spouse of the federal employee is very expensive for them to stay on the plan after retirement, and so sometimes we see the spouse coming off the plan and going to Medicare.
All right, thanks, Michael, for your question. We'll go to Joseph, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. My question is regarding coverage after turning 65. I realize that as long as I'm employed, I do not need to enroll in Medicare. But once I leave my employment, I'm planning on leaving the country for 18 months. And I understand Medicare doesn't apply outside the U.S. So my question simply is, am I required once I leave my employment to pay Medicare premiums, even though I will not be able to avail myself of those benefits? And also, will I be penalized if I do not have to pay the premium once I return in 18 months?
I don't know. that's one where you might want to call Southern Maine Agency on Aging, or if you're in the Portland area, it's 396-6500. I'm sure if somebody doesn't know out there, they can get the answer fairly quickly. It's not a situation that I've run across, so don't know.
I agree with Jim. I have a feeling that it may have to be tied into whether or not you had coverage elsewhere. For instance, if you lived overseas and that, you know, residents entitled you to coverage in another country, that might be a situation that might give you a special enrollment into Part B when you came back to the U.S. But just being on travel without that type of other coverage, that might, you know, it might be a little bit more questionable. So I would agree with Jim to, you know, call the area agency or 1-800-MEDICARE to try and get the exact answer on that.
All right, Joe. Thanks, Joseph. Thank you for your question. And, you know, I think a lot of people dream of traveling as soon as they retire, so probably not the only person out there with a question like that. We'll go to Pam calling from Richmond. Hi, Pam. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you. I just wanted to share my experience of using a person who is considered a medical insurance agent for AARP. When my husband and I signed up for Medicare, and we did it on different years, she actually came to the house. She evaluated our health needs, at least the ones that we knew about, and she made some recommendations. She didn't push one or the other, whether it was a supplement plan and which supplement plan or whether it was an Advantage plan. We had complete freedom to choose whatever we wanted. We did not pay her a cent. She only gets paid by whatever plan it is that you select. So it was completely free. She came to the house. She filled out the paperwork. It couldn't have been easier, and we had someone who knew way more than we did to kind of balance the options of one over another.
Jane, why don't you tell us about this program?
The insurance products that are sold with AARP's name on it are part of a separate part of our organization. Mm. So I'm within a different part of AARP that doesn't work on those types of issues. But it's, you know, always nice to hear that somebody has a good experience, certainly.
All right, Pam, thanks for your call. Moving on to John in South Portland. Hi, John. Go ahead. John.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. It's funny, when I was listening to the lady who took the input, she was talking about my very question. And my question is about the FEH, my federal employee plan, and Part B. Now, I'm one of the few that took the Part B plus the federal employees plan. Is there any way to get an answer from as to whether or not that's a good thing to do?
Well, it's you've got your federal plan and your Part B. And are you thinking about whether or not it's a good thing to continue to have, or what?
Yeah, whether or not I should keep the Part B and go to a cheaper federal plan, or keep the family plan that I have and drop Part B. You can't get a straight answer from anybody, it seems.
Well, the reason why you can't get a straight answer is because it depends. A lot of what you need to know in choosing the best health plan, or deciding whether or not a health plan is good, and whether or not you need Part B or don't need Part B, is that you need to know what your health is going to be next year and the year after, and how much you're going to need in terms of health care services. And so, you know, you have to start with a premise that is all in the future, and that's why it's difficult. And a place where we hope we can give you good information to help you make a decision that you feel comfortable with is in these one-on-one counseling sessions at Southern Maine Agency on Aging. They take about an hour, and if you ask for somebody who is knowledgeable about federal programs, there's a good chance that you might be able to get that person to help you. But in terms of making a decision as to whether or not it's a good idea or a bad idea depends a lot on what you think your healthcare experience is going to be in the next several years.
All right, John. So good luck to you. We'll go to Louisa on Facebook. I'm a U.S. citizen currently living in Canada. I have Part A coverage only at the moment because I am covered here in Nova Scotia where I live. I have no current plans to return to the U.S. to live, but my family is all in Maine, so who knows? Is there anything I should be aware of regarding my Medicare coverage under these circumstances? Are you often, Jim, working with people who are living in Canada?
No, not in Cumberland, New York County. if you have... I mean, if you have Canadian, I actually have relatives that live in Canada, but they do not have Medicare coverage, so that's not helpful. I think if you're not planning on coming to the United States for health care, you know, there's not a whole lot of reason to purchase Part B. But if you've got Part A and you haven't purchased Part B, to be honest with you, I don't know if Canadian healthcare is considered creditable coverage in terms of calculating the penalty for not getting Part B when you're first eligible.
Do you know the answer, Jane?
No, but I think that would be probably precisely the question to ask is would the coverage she has under in Canada, would that count towards, eradicating any sort of Part B penalty that she might face if she decided to change her mind?
All right.
Medicare.gov would probably be the best bet for getting that answer.
Well, if you have a question, the phone number 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet us or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does the University of Maine, hosting Bill Green in conversation with NPR's Brian Naylor, November 9th in Orono. Free tickets at collinscenterforthearts.com.
Maine Public Radio is your station. Financial contributions from listeners like you keep Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical on the air across the state. New programs, longtime favorites, it's all literally made possible by you. You make sure we have access to trusted programs from NPR, the BBC, and others. You bring the local news from the Maine Public News team. You produce every episode of Maine Calling. And it's a two-way street. When you pledge your financial support, Public Radio is there for you. So please do your part to keep this crucial service running. It's a win-win for everybody. Do your part on this Super Thursday or right now. Call at 800-866-1475 or donate online at mainepublic.org. Thank you.
Coming up in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock, join us for the Commonwealth Club of California. CNN political contributor Van Jones looks at what he sees as the failures of both political parties and the need for us all to get down to the vital business of solving together some of our nation's toughest problems. That's Van Jones on the Commonwealth Club of California, 2 o'clock this afternoon, right here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, signing up for Medicare. Joining me today, Jim Baker, a Medicare open enrollment expert, and Jane Sung on the line with us, a senior strategic policy advisor with AARP's Public Policy Institute. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Vinyl Haven and James. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
For the last 5 years, had an Advantage plan. Last year had a slight scare with prostate and possibility of cancer on the horizon. So I'm thinking about supplemental plans, and specifically, I never hear people talk about the F plan that is a high deductible. As I understand it, it has a fairly small annual premium, but you're required to keep an account that's similar to an HSA.
So, James, did you say F as in Frank or S as in Sam?
F as in Frank. So it's the, I think it's the premium supplemental plan. But there is, again, as I understand it, a high deductible plan where you have a much smaller premium, but then you have certain out-of-pocket expenses. So I don't know if anyone there might be able to speak to that.
Jim's looking through some papers here. Tell us about the F plan, Jim, and who it might be a good idea for.
Well, you're talking about the high deductible F plan. So let's get back to the real question is, can you switch from a Medicare Advantage plan to a high deductible F plan? And the answer to that is not automatically, not guaranteed. What you can switch to is an A plan. And the A plan, the reason for that is that the high deductible plan is the least costly with least benefits, at least based on this chart that I'm looking at. And so there's no way that you can change from a high deductible plan to any other plan. But the way the Medigap program is set up with the insurance agent, the Maine Bureau of Insurance, is that you can switch to an A plan. And that would give you, that would give you all the protection for your Part B copay. It would give you all the protection for your in-hospital copay. And the only thing, the big risk items that you would have, because it's the lowest premium plan with the lowest benefits, is you would have a Part A deductible if you went in the hospital overnight for one night or 10 nights. It would cost you $1,300, roughly $1,300. And if you went into a skilled nursing facility, you would not get the benefit of the skilled nursing copay beginning on day 21. So if you stayed out of the hospital and stayed out of a skilled nursing facility, you'd have almost all the benefits of an F plan. So there you go.
All right, James. Thanks for your call. We'll go to Michael calling from Wilton. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hello. I just turned 66 and applied for Medicare and Social Security. Up until now, I was covered until about 65 by my wife's insurance through the state, and then I went on to my employer's insurance, which now covers myself and my daughter. I was surprised when I got my card that my Medicare Part A does not start for 6 months. Is that because I did not apply at the age of 65, even though I had private coverage?
Jane?
I believe that's probably the case. I'm wondering if Jim knows the answer to this, that if he applied at a later date, that it might be that his enrollment doesn't begin until that July 1st general enrollment date. Jim, do you think that's the case?
Yeah, probably. What's the start date for your Part B?
I'm still covered by my private employer's insurance.
Okay, so you haven't...
Start date was April 1st, 6 months from the October 1st, so that's why I figured they're penalizing me 6 months.
Well, when did you apply for your Part A?
Last month, October, right before my birthday.
Okay.
When I turned 66.
When you turned 66. Yeah, and what's the start date for your Part A? For your Part A, is it 6 months or is it
April 1st, 2017?
April 1st.
Maybe April 1st.
Yeah.
2018.
I don't know why it's. I don't know what the reason for that is. If it was what Jane was suggesting, the start date would be July 1st. So it's not that you signed up after your initial enrollment period. So I don't know the answer to that.
I think this does pretty much highlight the fact that in addition to all of the moving parts of the differences in plans and premiums and coinsurance between plans, there's also that other factor to pay attention to in terms of when your coverage begins and the different enrollment periods. While we can't sort of figure out the puzzle of why he has that later start date in this particular situation, as a general rule, if you're switching plans during Medicare open enrollment right now in the fall, your coverage will start January 1st. If you delay Part B enrollment and if you make changes during the rest of the year outside of your initial enrollment period, that period of time is the first three, that January, February, March part of the year. And your enrollment, actually, your coverage doesn't start until July 1st. So I guess adding that enrollment start date to that list of variables that are the moving parts of Medicare enrollment.
Yeah, let me just ask you one question, because is the start date for your Part A April of 2017 or 18?
I think I'm not sure. Yeah. Now, I thought it was 2018, but it may have been 2017.
Yeah. Because sometimes they'll make that retroactive 6 months as opposed to delaying it 6 months. So they may have made it retroactive, and the date might be April of 17.
My mistake. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael. We're going to go to Lynn calling from Portland. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm calling in response to the people who have FEHBP, federal employees or retirees. And if they go to NARF, National Active and Retired Federal Employees, there is an 800 number that they can call to find out about local chapters and get answers to their questions regarding their insurance and the open period for federal employees.
Great, great tip. National Active and Retired Federal Employees.
Yes.
NARF with an E on the end.
No. Yes, NARFE.
Yes.
And the there is an 800 toll-free number. Do you want that?
Sure.
800-627-3394. And they can find out from there where their nearest NARF chapter is and get other answers. So for people who are federal employees or are retirees, that may be a place to get their answers.
Thank you, Lynn. And we'll also post that on our Maine Calling Facebook page. We're going to move on now to Helen calling from Camden. Hi, Helen. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, you know, we're toying with the idea of changing from an advantage plan, or no, from a supplement to an advantage, and also an advantage to a different advantage program that we're on now. Is there any place we can go to compare them? Otherwise, we're on the computer for hours. I thought maybe there was a site where they'd have, you know, different supplements and advantage plans and maybe just compare them, I should say dollars for dollars, but apples to apples.
Helen, I'm a little confused as to your question. Are you thinking about switching from a supplement to a Medicare Advantage plan? You don't have a Medicare Advantage plan now, though, right?
I do, but my husband does not.
Okay, so you've got one that doesn't.
Yes.
Is there a nice, tidy website somewhere to compare everything?
Well, you know, if you go to Southern Maine Agency on Aging, I actually have put together a chart that shows the plans, but the same information that's in the chart is basically in Medicare and You. And so you've got that red, white, and blue booklet called Medicare and You, and it has all of the Medicare Advantage plans in there. Also, Medicare Supplement Insurance booklet that the Maine Bureau of Insurance puts out, you can actually get it online from Medicare, Maine.gov. It's the Maine Bureau of Insurance. And there's a chart that shows you all the insurance companies and what their premiums are for each of the plans.
Another good place to start is the federal website, Medicare.gov, especially for the MA choices, and also if you're looking for the Part D drug plans. If you go start onto Medicare.gov and, you know, go into find plans in your area, you can enter your zip code to start with and then go in and enter your drugs and some of the details. And it should pull up a list of the plans in your area that are available to you in your specific zip code as well.
It's a very difficult job to compare Advantage plans. So I just had somebody in last week who had done that, and it's a real chore. But one way to do it is to go to some of these meetings that each of these insurance companies put together. There aren't that many insurance companies that are selling the plans. There's only like a half a dozen, but there's a lot of plans. But they have these, one or two page pullouts with all the basic information that's in the Medicare Advantage plans. And it wouldn't be too difficult if you wanted to compare them all to, you know, put them all down on a big table and you'd see a lot of similarities. There's not a lot of differences between them in the dollars and cents. The premiums are different, but the way they provide coverage and what they charge and what the deductibles are, et cetera, there's a lot of similarities.
Well, that's good to know. Helen, good luck to you. We have an email from Jenny. Are there penalties if one switches from one Advantage plan to another Advantage plan? Can you do this every year and back and forth to or from Medicare A and B year to year? Across the Medicare spectrum, A and B or Advantage plans, what kind of penalties should one be on the lookout for?
Well, you can't. Go ahead, Jane.
Sorry about that. I was going to say, if I'm understanding the question correctly, and she's just looking to switch, if she has Medicare Advantage and she's looking to switch from one Medicare Advantage plan to another Medicare Advantage plan, there's not a penalty for that. Where the penalties kick in is if you delay enrollment in Medicare Part B and Medicare Part D, your drug coverage. So those are the two penalties that I'm aware of that people should be on the lookout for, making sure you're enrolled in those when you need to be. But in terms of switching between MA plans, it's actually something that, you know, it is encouraged to do. And then there are the complications between switching from Medicare Advantage to Medigap, as Jim had pointed out earlier. On the Medigap side, there might be some there's going to be some additional scrutiny put onto you if you try to go back to a Medigap plan beyond your 3 years that Maine entitles you to. So those, are, I think, are the big red flags. Did I miss any others, Jim?
Well, yeah. If the question encompassed dropping Part B and dropping Part A and then picking it up later, that's probably not a good idea. There are some situations where you can suspend your Part B, but if you're just switching from Medicare Advantage and deciding you don't want Part B for next year and then you want to pick it up again, you could have some penalties there.
All right. Well, go ahead, Jane.
Oh, Jennifer, I was just going to mention just generally a lot of these questions, as you can see, they really get into a lot of details and there it can be pretty tricky. One other resource that hasn't been mentioned so far is a publication that my former colleague here at AARP has just put out. It's a book called Medicare for Dummies, and Pat Barry has just put out the third edition of that book, and it really is a wonderful resource for people. Especially if they have questions about these nuances about enrollment and penalties and the timing. She has done an exhaustive look at these issues. And you can get information about how to get that book from the AARP.org website. But that's another resource that people might want to have on hand as they try to navigate these issues.
Great. And I'll add that. I've been making a list. I'm going to put a list of resources on our Maine Calling Facebook page. And just to wrap up, Jim, the area agencies on aging throughout Maine have the same kind of services you've talked about the Southern Maine Area Agency on Aging, correct?
Absolutely. There's one in Aroostook County. There's Eastern Area Aging Agency on Aging and Penobscot, Spectrum, and Lincoln Knox, Seniors Plus, and Androscoggin. There's a lot of them.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here. Jane Sung, a senior strategic policy advisor with AARP's Public Policy Institute, and Jim Baker, a volunteer with Southern Maine Area Agency on Aging and a Medicare open enrollment expert. Nikki Shields ran the board today. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our audio archives at mainecalling.org. Today's show will be broadcast again tonight at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, stories from a long-haul trucker. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.